Thank you for joining Mechon Hadar's learning of Pirkei Avot in honor of our 10th year celebration.
This week's Dvar Torah is by Dina Weiss.
This week's Mishnayot are Perek Vav, Chapter 6, Mishnayot Chet through Yud Aleph, Mishnayot 8 through 11, which concludes our study of Pirkei Avot. Mishnah Chet, Mishnah number 8. Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh Omer, Mishum Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon, the son of Manasseh, says in the name of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, Hanoi, beauty, vehakoach, and power, vehaosher, and wealth, vehakavod, and honor, vehachochma, and wisdom, vazikna, and age, vaseva, and sagacity, vehabanim, and children, na'el tzadikim v'na'el l'olam. They are good, fitting, beautiful for the righteous, and they also are good for the world. This comes on the backdrop of assuming that when good things happen to the righteous, that's good for the world, and when good things happen to the people who are not righteous, that's bad for the world. So when we talk about this list of things that are fitting for the righteous, we also include that it's helpful and good for the world. And we have a proof text from Mishlei, Perek Tet Zayin, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Shene'emar, as it says, Ateret, a crown, Tiferet, a beautiful crown, Seva, is old age. Baderech Tzedakah Timatzeh, it is going to be found in the way of Tzedakah, of righteousness, and this is the connection between all of these things that we associate with beauty and glory and honor. This beautiful crown are connected to Tzedakah, like Tzadikim. Ve'omer, and it further says, Ateret Chachamim Oshra. The crown of the wise is their wealth. And of course, the plain sense of this text is that the glory or the crown that the wise have is what makes them rich. And the drash is that their wealth is what provides them a crown. So Ateret Chachamim Oshram, their wealth is their crown. Ve'omer, and it further says, Ateret Zekenim B'nei Banim. The crown of the old are their grandchildren. V'tiferet Banim Avotam. And the glory of children are their parents. This nice image of everybody sort of being proud and taking pride in one another. Ve'omer, and it further says, Tiferet Bachurim Kocham, the beauty of the youth is their strength, V'hadar Zekenim Seva, and the splendor of the elders is their sagacity, is their white hair. Ve'omer, and it further says, V'chofra Halavana Uvosha Hachama, that the moon is going to be embarrassed, and so is the sun, Ki malach Adonai tzvaot b'har tzion uv'yerushalayim. For the God of hosts has become the king in Mount Zion and Jerusalem. V'neged zekeinav kavod. And opposite his elders is glory, is honor. V'neged zekeinav kavod. And kavod, honor, faces the zekeinim, faces the elders. Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh Omer, Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh adds on to this teaching that he got from Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and says, Elu sheva midot, these seven character traits, shamanu chachamim latzadikim, that the wise have counted out, have appointed for the righteous, kulam nitkaimu berabi uvavanav. They were all established with Rabbi, that is Rabbi Yehuda HaNasih, the compiler and the editor of the Mishnah, and in his children. This Mishnah is a little bit confusing with all of the psukim, and if you were to go back to look at the text inside, you'll see that there's a little bit of a syllogistic chain being constructed between these different verses that connects each of the attributes that Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai counted out for the righteous and is able to connect them through this chain of psukim to the righteous and to the wise. And the last thing that I want to point out before we move on to Mishnah Tet is that if you count the different attributes that Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai listed, it's actually 8. And the way that you get to 7 is if you take banim off, if you take children off of the list, then you have 7 attributes that are then passed down to the children. And that's how Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh says, right, these seven midot are incorporated in Rabbi and his sons, because having children and then passing it on to your children is the eighth attribute. Mishnah Tet, Mishnah number 9. Amar Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma. Rabbi Yossi, the son of Kisma, says, Pamachat hayiti mehalech baderach. Once I was walking on the way. Ufagabi adam echad. And one person encountered me. Venatan li shalom vehazarti lo shalom. He greeted me and I returned the greeting. And the conversation continued. Amar li, he said to me, Rabbi, my teacher, me'eza makomata. From where do you come? Amarti lo, I said to him, Me'ir gedola shel chachamim v'shel sofrim ani. I come from a big city full of wise people and scribes. Amar li, he said to me, Rabbi, ritzonach shetador imanu bimkomenu? He said, Rabbi, would you like to live with us where we live? Va'ani etein lecha elef alafim dinarei zahav. And I am going to give you thousands upon thousands of these golden coins, vavanim tavot umargaliot, and jewels and pearls. He's enticing him not only with the money, but also with the opportunity to be a big fish in a small pond, right? He's coming from a city that's full of sages and full of rabbis, where he's just one of many, and saying, you come to us, you're going to be our rabbi, and we'll pay you handsomely, and you'll be the only one. Amarti lo, I said to him, Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma refuses, and he says, Bini, my son, imata notein li kol kesef v'zahav, if you were to give me all of the silver and the gold, vavanim tovot, and all of the jewels, umargaliot, and the pearl shebaolam that were in the entire world, give me all of the wealth that's available, eini dar ela bimkom Torah. I wouldn't take it. I'm not going to live in any place that isn't a place of Torah. Lefi shebesha'at b'tirato shel adam, because when a person dies, ein melavin lo la'adam lo kasef, velo zahav, velo avanim tovot umargaliot. You can't take it with you. And so what accompanies a person is not their gold and their silver and their wealth. Ela Torah umasim tovim bilvad. The only thing that accompanies you when you pass away is the Torah that you've learned and the good deeds that you've done. Shenemar, as it says in Mishlei, Pit halechacha tancheotach. When you go, it will guide you. B'shachbecha tishmor alecha. When you lie down, it will guard over you. V'hakitzota hi tisichecha. And when you wake up, it, that is the Torah, will be your conversation. The pshat of the pasuk in Mishlei is that as you walk and as you lie down and as you get up, the Torah is your guide. But the way that Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma is understanding it is that when you go to sleep, for eternal sleep, the Torah is what is going to be with you. And then when you wake up, that is in Tchiyat HaMeitim, in the resurrection of the dead, all you are going to have is the Torah that you've learned. B'yitalachacha tancheotach, it will guide you as you go on your way, ba'olam hazeh, in this world. B'shach b'cha teshmor alecha, when you go to sleep, it will guard over you, ba'kever, in the grave. V'akitzota hi tisichacha, and when you wake up, it will be what you talk about, lo'olam haba, in the world to come. V'chein katuv b'sefer tehilim, and this is also what it says in Sefer Tehilim, ayedei David melech Yisrael, which is considered to be written by David, the king of Israel. Tov li Torah picha me'alfei zahav v'chesef. Your Torah of your mouth is greater to me than thousands of gold or silver coins. Ve'omer, and it further says, and now we quote a pasuk from Haggai, li ha'kesef ve'li ha'zahav u'madonai tzvaot. God says, all the silver and all the gold is mine. Now, the question is, what does this last verse of all of the silver and all of the gold is mine, coming from God's mouth, necessarily have to do with any of Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma's argument? And it seems that it's a little bit of a compensatory statement that this man is offering Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma a tremendous amount of wealth, and he's willing to pass it up because he knows that wealth ultimately is in the control of God, and he's not concerned that he's passed up this great opportunity if he's meant to have a tremendous amount of money. Some other point, an opportunity to make a lot of silver and a lot of gold will come up. And the assumption of Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma in this Mishnah, right, is that wealth will follow Torah, but Torah should not follow wealth. And if he's in a place where he has a good charuta, or he has a yeshiva, or he has a lot of people that are reinforcing his Torah and reinforcing the good deeds that he does, he can't sacrifice that, he can't risk that for any amount of money. We continue with Mishnah Yud, Mishnah number 10. Chamisha kinyanim kana HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'olamo. God created 5 things in this world using the language of kana. Kuf nun hei. Ve'eluhin, and these are they. Torah, kinyan echad. One of these creations, and really the language of kana, kuf nun hei, also means to acquire. And the way the kana bridges between creation and acquisition is it basically is a term used for creating something for yourself, for your own use. So when we talk about anything being a kinyan, in the sense of God's creating it, there's a sense of real belonging and a sense of real connection of that creation. I didn't make it and then send it away. I made it because I needed it, because I wanted it, and I'm planning to keep it. The Elohim, these are the 5 kinyanim, the 5 things that God created for God's self. Torah, kinyan achad, the Torah. Shamayim va'aretz, heaven and earth, kinyan achad. Abraham, kinyan echad. Yisrael, kinyan echad. Beit HaMikdash, kinyan echad. So we have 5 different kinyanim, 5 different things that God created. The Torah, heaven and earth, Abraham, Israel, and the Beit HaMikdash. And now we have to prove that all of these are God's kinyanim, so we'll have a verse that supports each of these claims. Torah kinyan echad minayin. How do I know that the Torah constitutes a single creation? Dichtiv, as it says, Adonai kanani reshit darko kedem mif'alav me'az. This verse in Mishlei is imagining the Torah or wisdom speaking and saying, God created me the first of his way before any of his actions, before any of his creations, I was the first. And the verb that's used for creating in this pasuk is kanani, God created me. Shamayim va'aretz kinyan echad minayin. How do I know that shamayim va'aretz, heaven and earth, are one of God's creations? Shenamar, as the verse says in Yeshayahu, Ko amar Adonai, so says God, Hashamayim kisi, the heaven is my throne, v'ha'aretz hadom raglai, and the earth is my ottoman. Eza bayit asher tivnuli, ve'eza makom menuchati. What kind of house could you possibly build to contain me? Where would I live? Ve'omer, and the pasuk says in Tehillim, Ma rabu ma'asecha Adonai, God, how great are your actions? Kulam b'chochma asita, they are all done with your wisdom. Mal'a ha'aretz kinyanecha, the earth is full of your creation. So the verse in Yeshayahu makes it clear that Shamayim and Aretz, heaven and earth, are a matched set. I've got my ottoman and my chair. They go together. You can't have one without the other. And the verse in Tehillim proves to me that the earth, at the very least, is one of God's kinyanim, one of God's special creations. So I know, through syllogism, that the heaven is also one of God's creations. Now we're up to number 3, Avraham kinyan echad minayin. How do I know that Avraham is one of God's special creations? Dichtiv, as it says, Vayivarchehu vayomar machit tzedek, blesses Avraham, and he says, Baruch Avram le'elayon, blessed is Avram to the high God. Konei shamayim v'aretz, the one who creates heaven and earth. And you see here that the author of this Mishnah wants to include Avram, because he could have used this pasuk of God konei shamayim v'aretz, God creating heaven and earth, as the proof text for that heaven and earth are one of God's kinyanim. But instead, he uses these 2 psukim from Yeshayahu and Tehillim to establish that heaven and earth are a kinyan of God, so that frees up this other verse to apply to Avraham, that Avraham is one of God's special possessions. Yisrael kinyan echad minayin. How do I know that Israel is one of God's special possessions? Tehtiv, as it says, pasuk from Az Yashir, from the Song of the Sea, Ad ya'avor amcha Adonai, until your people crossed, Ad ya'avor amzu kanita, until this people that you have acquired, that you have created, have passed. And we quote another pasuk from Tehillim, Likadoshim asher ba'arat hema, vadirei kol cheftzibam, to the holy ones that are in the earth, and the strong ones in whom is my entire desire. It seems that we're adding this pasuk to sort of give a little boost to Yisrael, that of all the kinyanim, Yisrael is the one in whom God chafetzes, that God has this active interest and desire in. Beit HaMikdash Kinyan Achad, we're up to number 5. The Beit HaMikdash is the fifth kinyan, the fifth of these special creations. How do I know that? Shene'emar, as it says, again, another pasuk from Az Yashir, Mikdash Adonai Konenu Yadecha, God, you have established this Mikdash, this holy place. Ve'omer, and it says in Tehillim about Eretz Yisrael, Vayevi'im al gvul kacho, God brings them within the boundary of his holiness. Harzeh, this mountain, the mountain on which the Beit HaMikdash is going to be built, Kanta Yemino, God's right hand has acquired or has created. So we know from Az Yashir that the Mikdash is the thing that God creates with God's own hands. Mikdash Adonai Konenu Yadecha. And we know from the Pasuk in Tehillim that the same kind of act where God is establishing the place where the Beit HaMikdash is going to be, instead of using the language of Konein to establish, we use the language of Kana to create. And so therefore we know that not only the place where the Beit HaMikdash is, but the Beit HaMikdash itself is one of God's special creations, God's special kinyanim. Beit HaMikdash kinyan echad minayin. How do I know that the Beit HaMikdash is one of God's special creations? Shenemar, as it says in Az Yashir, Mikdash Adonai konenu yadecha. God, you have established the Mikdash, this holy place, with your hands. And it's hard to hear this, but if you're reading the text of the Pasuk, the word konenu, you established, is spelled with a chaf. Kaf nun nun means to establish. And knowing that, we still need to figure out how this is connected to our verb that we're looking for, kuf nun hey, meaning to create. And so we have another pasuk in Tehillim, Vayevi'em al gvul kacho, he brings them within the boundary of his holiness, Mikdash kacho. Harzeh, this mountain, kanta yimino, that his right hand has created. Now we finally have the verb that we're looking for, kuf nun hey. So we have these two images of God's hand. In Az Yashir, God's hands are konaining, kaf nun nun, the Beit HaMikdash. And in Tehillim, God's hand is kana, creating kuf nun hey, the place where the Beit HaMikdash will be. We're continuing with our final Mishnah, Mishnah Yud Aleph, Mishnah number 11. Kol ma shebara HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'olamo, everything that God has created in his world, right? And here we're making this very subtle transition from kana, which is one type of verb that we use for creating, to bara, which is our more standard verb for creating. And everything that God created in his world, lo bara ela lichvodo, he created it exclusively for his own glory, for his own honor. Shene'emar, as it says, kol hanikra bishmi v'lichvodi brativ, anything that is called in my name, I have created for my honor. Yitzartiv af asitiv, I have formed it and I have made it. Again, all of these different verbs, brativ, I have created, yitzartiv, I have formed, asitiv, I have made, that really hammer down the point that whatever God creates is for his kavod, is for his glory. Ve'omer, and it says, again, another quote from Az Yashir, Adonai yimloch le'olam va'ed, God will reign forever and ever. And I think that the reason why our final Mishnah of this perek is talking about God's creating everything for God's own glory is because the rest of the chapter really focuses a lot on the glory that studying Torah bestows upon you. Being careful about this glory, not seeking this glory, the glory that will automatically come. It's a very kavod-focused perek, very honor-focused chapter. And therefore, the last Mishnah wants to close with, but any honor that you have is really God's honor. And to both appreciate that honor is significant because God is invested in it, but also to realize that your honor, whatever honor you receive, even the honor that you get from the Torah, is but a pale comparison to God's honor, and God is the true king, and he will reign forever and ever. I'd like to take this opportunity to really reflect on the entire project of what it means to learn something called Masechet Avot, to learn the Tractate of the Fathers. And when we think about the Fathers, capital T, capital F, usually the Fathers that we think of are not the rabbis who wrote the Mishnah, although they too are our ancestors. We think about Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. We think about the forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And there is a teaching about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which is so fascinating and so bizarre that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, our forefathers who lived well before the giving of the Torah, themselves actually kept the Torah. This is based on a pasuk in Bereishit, Perek Chavav, in Genesis chapter 26. Chapter 26 is the story of there being a famine in Israel, which sends Yitzchak to Gerar to find food. God tells Yitzchak that he can go as far as Gerar, but he can't continue beyond the boundaries of Eretz Israel. He's not allowed to go into Egypt. That's beyond the pale of where he's allowed to go because he has to stay in the land of Israel. And God promises him that even though he's not allowing him to leave, God is still going to be with him. God says, Gur ba'aretz hazot, live in this land, v'heya imach, and I will be with you. V'avarechecha, and I will bless you. Ki lecha ulezarecha atein et kol ha'aretzot ha'el. I am going to give all of these lands to you. And now we're going to skip. Why is God blessing Yitzchak so bountifully? Pasuk Hey, verse 8 says, Ikav asher shama Avraham bekoli, since Avraham listened to my voice, vayishmar mishmarti, and he kept all of my observances, mitzvotai, my commandments, chukotai, my ordinances, toratai, my teachings. And if you're to lift this verse out and have a very powerful, hyper-literal, midrashic lens, you would think to yourself, oh, it seems very clear that Avraham kept the entire Torah. He kept all of the mishmarot, everything that needed to be observed, all of the mitzvot, all of the hukim, all of the laws, all the ordinances, and all the Torot, and the entirety of the Torah. And this teaching that the forefathers kept the entire Torah is, on the one hand, very beautiful, but on the other hand, in a literal sense, slightly implausible. Not only because we know that the Torah wasn't given to us until many centuries later, with the giving of the Torah on Har Sinai, but also because we have a lot of evidence that actually the Avot, our forefathers, violated the Torah. One of the core principles of sexual ethics is that a man is not allowed to marry two sisters. But Jacob was married to two sisters. One of the cornerstones of rabbinic law is that you're not allowed to mix milk and meat. But Avraham served quite a cheeseburger to the angels when they came to visit him. So how could you possibly say that our forefathers kept the Torah when the Torah itself testifies to the fact that the forefathers did a poor job of keeping the Torah at best? And the Maharal has an amazing explanation of this. He says you're not understanding what it means to say that someone keeps the Torah before the Torah was given. He said, when this pasuk testifies accurately to the fact that the forefathers kept the Torah, it doesn't mean that they kept all of the negative commandments, all the prohibitions. Instead, it only means that they kept all of the positive commandments. And he explains that before the giving of the Torah, the negative commandments actually have no meaning. There's no significance to keeping the negative commandments before the giving of the Torah, but keeping the positive commandments still has value. I'd like to give you a mashal, I'd like to give you a parable for you to understand this. Let's say I invite Jeremy over for dinner, and Jeremy has celiac disease, and Jeremy can't have gluten. So I obey Jeremy's restriction, and I prepare a meal for him that has no gluten. That's significant because there's a prohibition on the books. I have the Torah that Jeremy can't have gluten. But if Jeremy doesn't have celiac disease, and he doesn't have a problem with gluten, then the fact that I've gone out of my way to obey this prohibition and I've not had any gluten at my meal is completely meaningless, because there's no Torah, there's no information that tells me you need to abide by this restriction. Whereas providing someone a meal, regardless of whether or not they have told you about having any restrictions, is meaningful. So the positive commandments, even without having been told about them, maybe even because you haven't been told about them, still have meaning before the giving of the Torah, but the negative commandments have no meaning. I appreciate this explanation both because it's very elegant and also because I think it says something very powerful about a way that we could keep the Torah. Even though Yaakov, Yitzchak, and Avraham probably violated any number of negative commandments over the course of their lives, they're still referred to as having kept the entire Torah. And I think that what this gives us is an alternate view of what it means to keep the Torah, of what it means to be a religious person. We often think and focus on the negative. I keep Shabbat in the sense that I don't violate Shabbat. I keep kosher in the sense that I don't violate any of the rules. And we often use these as substitutes for what it means to be religious. Are you religious? Yes, I don't violate Shabbat and I don't violate kashrut. But maybe the answer to the question of, are you religious, is, I'm a kind person. I am someone who sets aside time for learning. I am someone who always puts the needs of others before myself. I am someone who makes praying to God, keeping my relationship with God fresh, a priority. And this vision of the Avot having kept the entire Torah is a vision of the Torah where it's totally not about prohibitions, and it's only about fulfillment. It's not about who you're not, it's only about who you are. And this is the vision of the Torah that learning Masechet Avot also allows us to step into. Because of all of the Mishnayot that we could learn, this is the one that never tells us that X, Y, or Z law makes something prohibited. It's all about your moral development. It's all about your relationship with the Torah, your relationship with God, and how you can become a better person in the Rabbinic Academy and in the world at large. And maybe the reason why Masechet Avot is called the tractate of our fathers is because it is the tractate that holds within it the pure distillation of the Torah that our forefathers kept. Maybe it's true that Avraham didn't always keep kosher, and maybe it's true that Yaakov didn't keep all of the laws pertaining to prohibited relationships, but they were people who made their relationship with God a priority. They were people of integrity. They are the Avot, and they kept the entire Torah of the Avot. And I hope that our learning of Masechet Avot has helped you to really shift your focus to what it means to develop a religious personality in the positive sense, to be able to say about yourself, even if I make a mistake, and even if I don't live a totally halachic lifestyle where I never violate a don't and I always do all of the do's, that's an important question. That's an important component of your identity. What Masechet Avot allows you to develop are the other parts of your religious identity, what it means to be a person of humility, what it means to be a person of integrity, what we should be looking for in our religious lives. Yishar kochachem for making it this far. Hope to see many of you at our Siyum on Thursday night, March 2nd, honoring our board chair, John LePatton, and of course all of you who have joined us in this tremendous accomplishment of learning all of Masechet Avot together. Thank you for joining on this journey.
For more opportunities to be involved in our 10th year celebration, please visit mechonhadar.org/siyum. Join us on Thursday, March 2nd for our Siyum celebration, and be a part of our first ever National Shabbaton for March 3rd through 5th, 2017.